heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered live today on air, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, and we will go to your calls in just a few moments. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. But what I want to do to begin this broadcast is talk about the state of the Bible. I was reading today about six trends. Every single year, Barna partners with the American Bible Society on the state of the Bible. And this year's research revealed six trends. Now, those trends were 2014 trends. There'll be new trends out in 2015, but the trends do not look real good. The first trend is that skepticism towards the Bible continues to rise dramatically. The number of those who are skeptical or agnostic towards the Bible, who believe that the Bible is just another book of teachings by men, has nearly doubled. And in that, in just 3 years. Not only are millennials more likely to be skeptical towards the Bible, they are also less likely to read the Bible to begin with. 39% say they never read the Bible. The second trend is that most Americans continue to be pro-Bible. Now, being pro-Bible doesn't necessarily mean Americans use the Bible on a regular basis, because only 37% of Americans report reading the Bible once a week or more. The third trend is distraction and busyness continue to squeeze out the Bible. In other words, 40% report being just too busy to read the Word of God. 17% say that they don't read the Word of God because of a significant change in their life. 15% say they don't read the Bible because they've become atheist or agnostic. 13% have stopped reading the Bible because they've had a difficult experience that has caused them to doubt God. 8% say that, well, they haven't seen that the Bible's made much difference in someone else's life, and so they've stopped reading the Bible. Again, the major trend here is that distraction and busyness continue to squeeze out the Bible in the lives of many. The fourth trend, the age of screens has come to stay in the Bible market. That's not a great surprise. Just a handful of people are sticking with the old ways as the use of tablets and smartphones for Bible searches continues to skyrocket. Now, certainly there's nothing wrong with using smartphones. There's nothing wrong with using tablets. But one thing that I have been emphasizing, and of course we emphasize because we're always making a book, or not always, but predominantly making a book, the resource of the month, is that people need to read. They need to read the Bible. They need to read books, biographies, classics, because in reading, we can reflect. So often what's happening is we are distracted through technology. So technology has its place, but it should never replace the reading of good books and certainly the Bible. The fifth of six trends is increasingly people come to the Bible for answers or comfort. And what that has to say about millennials in particular is that they want to know how the Bible connects to everyday matters like parenting, financing, and the workplace, and so on. Not to express their faith in God or their adoration or confess their sins or express thanksgiving to God, but to receive comfort. And I would contend that one of the things that has greatly enhanced my prayer life and would greatly enhance your prayer life as well is to utilize the Bible. This morning, for example, as I was going through my prayer time, I used Psalm 145. It is a wonderful way in which you can express your adoration towards God. It begins with the words, "I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty." So the Bible is useful in so many different ways, including powerful with respect to your prayer life. The sixth of the six trends is people are less likely to link moral decline with a lack of Bible reading. And yet, the legacy of the Bible is in the ethos, the mores, the civil liberties, the art, the language, the science, and the jurisprudence of Western civilization. The Bible is yet and will ever be the most significant of God's revelations. He has revealed himself in the world in which we live. He has revealed himself in the Word of God. And he has revealed himself through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we remain today with a word that can transform us. But we have to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into us. And as I said earlier on, we have to read good books as well. One of the reasons that we are making available to all of you Watchman Nee's Sit, Walk, Stand, a powerful little book. You can read it in a sitting, but it is life transformational. The book available on the web at equip.org as you support the ministry all this month, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We're going to go to the phone lines now. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically, 888-275-4265. First up, Mark in Raleigh, North Carolina, listening on WCRU. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Great. Thanks so much for taking my call today. I listen to your broadcast as often as I can, and I really appreciate your ministry, so thank you. My question for you, and I'll try to make it as crisp as possible, but it's interesting that you're talking about the importance of reading our Bibles, and I've been fortunate to be able to read through the Bible a couple of different times and use some good resources for that. And so I'm going through it again, and I'm spending some time in Old Testament, New Testament, and then I'm just following this plan. And you know, I work through Genesis, and I do pretty well with that, and Exodus, and it works pretty well for me too. And then I get into Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and I really struggle in understanding kind of what God's purpose was in creating the law, and the very specific pieces of that law. And I guess I would just say that I understand that that was a precursor to Jesus coming and being a sacrifice for us, and I understand it, but can you speak a little bit to why God created the elaborateness, I guess if that's a word, of the law?
Yeah, well, his people were to be separate from the nations around them, and therefore they had to adhere to laws that showed that separateness, because they had been called to be a light to the nations. And so many of the laws that were civil and ceremonial pointed to that separateness that they were to have. But you also had many of the laws being prefigures or types pointing towards the antitype, which of course is Jesus Christ. So the greater reality to which a type points and in which it finds fulfillment is always referred to the antitype. So the writer of Hebrews, for example, specifically employs that word to refer to the greatness of the heavenly sanctuary, of which the holy land, the holy city, and the holy temple are merely types or shadows. So these types or shadows in the sacrifices pointed forward to a sacrificial lamb. And of course, when the sacrificial lamb comes, then those types and shadows are no longer necessary because they have found a fulfillment. Of course, it's important also to point out that antitypes themselves may function as types of future realities. So, for example, communion or the Eucharist is the antitype of the Passover meal. But the Passover meal, while it pointed to communion, allows communion to point to something else. The Last Supper and the corresponding sacrament of communion serve as the antitype of the Passover meal and point forward to ultimate fulfillment in the wedding supper of the Lamb. So again, there is a complex structure, but that structure points to a holistic whole. And that's why I often say that when you read the Bible, you have to take the Bible as a whole. You can't understand the individual parts without understanding the Bible as a whole, but you can't understand the Bible as a whole without understanding the individual parts. So the Bible is synergistic with respect to itself. All the types and shadows pointing forward to a substance, and Jesus being the only one who can fill or walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecies. I think I lost Mark. Again, I have written about this in various places, including my book, The Apocalypse Code. And I think it's really important, as I point out there, that we really get a grasp on the types and shadows that we find in the Old Testament and how they're fulfilled in the New Testament. The writer of Hebrews makes clear that the rest that the descendants of Abraham experienced when they entered the land is but a type of the rest we will experience as we enter an eternal relationship with the Lord. So the land provides temporal rest for the physical descendants of Abraham, but the Lord provides eternal rest for the spiritual descendants of Abraham. And that's why Abraham looked forward to a promise, because as the writer of Hebrews makes plain, he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Abraham therefore looked beyond binding borders and boundaries to a day in which the meek would inherit the earth. Now, Israel was called to be a light to the nations. Unfortunately, as we read in the Bible, instead of being a light to the nations, Israel prostituted herself with the nations, and that's a great lesson for us. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world, and we are called to be a light to the world. And one of the reasons that the salt has lost its saltiness is because we are no longer making our light shine within a lost and searching world. And what I was talking about at the beginning of the broadcast is the trends that show that Bible reading is down dramatically in Western civilization. As a result of that, we have a very difficult time being a light when we are called to be just that. Instead, we put a bushel over the light, and there the light no longer shines and makes a difference in the culture. We are coming up to station break. Do remember the resource of the month, Watchman Nee's Sit, Walk, Stand, available for your gift to the ongoing work at the Christian Research Institute. And for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. You can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, 888-275-4265. Be right back.
Having spoken at the University of Tehran in Iran, Hank Hanegraaff is increasingly motivated to ensure that Bible Answer Man listeners receive credible information concerning Islam. For this reason, Hank has put together a special equipping package, which includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, the Best of the Christian Research Journal. And in addition to a special article on the rise of the American jihadist by Dr. David Wood, this offer also includes an issue of the Christian Research Journal, featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this equipping package as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The seven deadly sins are vices that undermine loving God and loving others. The virtuous life, by contrast, is one that resembles the image of the truest human, Jesus. Character cultivation begins not with moralistic endeavor, but with a relationship with God and Christ, which in turn transforms our character. Other topics include, is Christianity bad for your health? Why we lost the culture war and how to make a comeback? Morality, therefore God, an evangelistic strategy, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. In response to the recent Charlie Hebdo shootings in Paris, Howard Dean, former governor of Vermont, stated, "I stopped calling these people Muslim terrorists. They're about as Muslim as I am. I think ISIS is a cult, not an Islamic cult. I think it's a cult." Is Dean trying to paint a politically correct, warmer, kinder picture of Islam? What's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff's special equipping package will help you understand the real Islam. It includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, plus a special article on the rise of the American jihadist and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Some time ago, the Christian Research Institute changed its tagline from Because Truth Matters to Because Life and Truth Matter. Reason being that for Christians, truth and the abundant life are inseparable. It's no small clue that Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. Tragically, in matters of life, Christians often try to walk with Christ in order to one day sit with Him. But this is the reversal of the true order. The concise book Sit, Walk, Stand by Watchman Nee explores timeless principles from the book of Ephesians, which demonstrate the truth that we advance in the Christian life only as we learn first to sit down. To receive Sit, Walk, Stand as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. or visit equip.org. While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff's special offer of the book, Islam, What You Must Know, plus Dr. David Wood's article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? And The Rise of the American Jihadist, will help you understand the real Islam. To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone calls. Next up is Tom. He's listening in Hawkins, Texas, on Butt Radio. Hi, Tom.
Hey, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
And I really appreciate your program. It's just helping me because you get locked in these little local environments and you can't get the information from outside, and you provide that. What I called about was in Revelation 21 when it talks about the New Jerusalem. I've been taught all my life that's in the sweet by and by. And I see it as present day. And that's kind of what I wanted your input on, which way you see it. I feel like there was times when I was doing prison ministry, I'd be put in positions that were totally above my head. And I'd just say, Lord, I'm here, and I came, and I will step up, but you're going to have to speak.
Mm.
And when those things came, it seemed as if I was walking on that street of gold.
Wow.
And I just kind of wanted your opinion.
Well, you know, the New Jerusalem, it is a beautiful rendering of the full complement of God's people from every nation and language throughout the world and throughout every epoch of time. And it is coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. So the church is called the Bride of the Lamb, or the Wife of God. And so what you have in Revelation chapter 21 is this beautiful picture of the full complement of God's people who together with God will share an eternity, which is to say that in this very passage you have the words with respect to the New Jerusalem, it is coming down out of heaven from God. And the text tells us now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Very much in keeping with what you find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Jesus comes down and the people go out to meet him, and together they live. Like Adam and Eve lived with God in the cool of the day, the relationship once severed is now restored. Death no longer a reality. The reality being that we will be with our Lord forever. And Paul then says in 1 Thessalonians 4, therefore comfort one another with these words. So is it future or is it present? Well, it is in the sense of the full complement of God's people, the perfected bride. It is something that we long for yet in the future. There is a foretaste, though, as you so beautifully pointed out, in the present. because we can experience being seated with Christ in heavenly places. So we have a sense in which we now experience the Lord. We experience life to the full, but it will not be until Jesus appears a second time that the veil between the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity is forever removed. And when that happens, our Lord will be as close to us physically as he is close to us now spiritually. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Claude in Pittsburgh, Massachusetts. Claude is listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Claude.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, thank you. My question is, why does the first day of the week replace the seventh day of the week as the day of worship?
Yeah, well, it did with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of course. This is the central pillar in the arch of Christianity. It is the hope of the believer. Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life, but it does give us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the hope of resurrection. And so it is in resurrection that we have our Sabbath rest, and therefore the celebration of that rest, the rest that we have in Christ who delivers us from sin and the grave, is celebrated on the first day of the week in remembrance of Christ's resurrection. And so that's why we celebrate on the first day of the week as opposed to the last day of the week. And I think it's very interesting to note from a historical standpoint that thousands of Jews willingly gave up a theological tradition that had given them their national identity, because God himself had provided the early church with a new pattern of worship through Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week, as well as the Holy Spirit's descent on Pentecost Sunday. Written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Adrian in El Paso, Texas. Adrian's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Adrian. Adrian, you there? I guess we don't have Adrian. We'll go back to the phone lines, talk to Daniel in Olathe, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Daniel.
Hello, Dan.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. This is Daniel. Can I go ahead and ask the question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I've been reading a little bit, and I've been questioned by people in regard to infant baptism and also salvation for the infant. Those kids that die before maybe a year old or 2 year old, where are they? Where do they go to? If they belong to a believer, or if they belong to maybe an unbeliever, maybe born in an Islam family, but they die before they know what is right and wrong. I just wanted to know, child baptism, and also where do they go when they die before they can confess their sins?
Yeah, well, in terms of where people go before they have a chance to confess their sins, is based on a theological deduction. And that theological deduction is that God wants a relationship with human beings, and he did all that one could possibly imagine. The human intellect cannot fully comprehend what God did so that we might have a relationship with him for time and for eternity. So most certainly he is not looking for angles to keep people out of eternity. He is wanting us to share that eternity with him. So on the basis of that theological deduction, I think it's safe to say that infants will inherit eternal life. Now, that's no warrant for abortion or killing infants, because obviously what we do now counts for all eternity. So terminating the life of a preborn child or an infant is a horrendous evil. But nonetheless, we can take comfort in the same comfort that David was comforted with. When his child died, he knew that one day he would be in eternity with his child forever. Therefore, he washed his face after mourning and went about his business, knowing in the joy of the Lord that he would see his child in eternity. So I think we can certainly draw a theological deduction to the notion that if we lose an infant, that we will forever spend eternity with that infant if we are believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, God gives us enough light so that if we want to follow him, we have the light to do so. He dwells in enough obscurity, so if we don't want to, then we won't find him. But infants are not in that category because they haven't come to the age of reason. And in my view, infants will inherit eternal life. But there are many different debates within Christian circles on that. For example, Roman Catholics, the Reformed, Lutherans, Anglicans, Episcopalians, Eastern Orthodox, they baptize infants as well as baptizing adult converts. There are others, however, in the Christian church who do not believe that we should be baptizing infants, that people should be baptized when they come to a place of confessing their faith in Jesus Christ. And this is a very significant debate, one that we shouldn't take lightly. And I have to say that there are good, very good arguments in both camps. And therefore, for someone to make a decision on this, they need to study the Bible carefully and then come to a conclusion of conscience on this point. But in terms of the broader issue, it is my conviction that infants will spend eternity with our Lord and Savior if they die in infancy. We had a preborn child, baby Grace, that died, and we are absolutely convinced that one day we will be in her embrace as she will be in ours, as we learn and grow and develop without error and forever explore the glory and goodness not only of our Lord, but his created handiwork. By the way, another attendant issue here is that baby going to be a baby in eternity? And I think the answer to that is that the DNA that makes someone unique, and we all have unique DNA, becomes, as it were, the blueprint that leads to the glorified body in eternity. So if you die an old man, you're going to be resurrected in the flower of your youth. If you die an infant, you too will live in the flower of your youth, and so it will be forever. There's no devolution in heaven. So in the new heavens and the new earth, eyesight is not going to dim, your limbs are not going to contract, you're going to be in a perfect state for all eternity. And that is what we look forward to, the new heaven, the new earth that I talked about earlier in the first segment of the broadcast, when the dwelling of God is with men, when he will live with them, when they will be his people and God himself will be with them. And as the text tells us, he will wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Why, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will become new. Coming up to station break, be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK, translates to 888-275-4265. When you go to the web, do remember you can subscribe there to the Christian Research Journal. You can also ask for our newsletter. It's called the Equip Newsletter. You can check all that out on the web at equip.org.
As Dr. David Wood notes in Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up, given an honest reading of the Quran and Hadith, a brutal theocracy is exactly what we would expect. For valuable and timeless insights into Islam and the need of Christians to better understand the theology driving ISIS and other jihadist movements, don't miss Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal. To say thanks for your gift, Hank Hanegraaff will also send you an issue of the Christian Research Journal, as well as an article on the rise of the American jihadist. To receive the book, magazine issue, and special article, Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more of the answers you need today. Watchman Nee observed in the letter to the Ephesians that three profoundly relevant themes for the Christian life were ordered in a particular way: our position seated in Christ, our walk with Christ in the world, and our stand for Christ against the enemy. An all too common mistake occurs when Christians attempt to walk in the world or stand against the enemy in their own power, not realizing that Christianity does not begin with walking or standing. It begins with sitting. In his classic little book, Sit, Walk, Stand, Watchman Nee expounds on the timeless truth that the starting point of the Christian life is being seated with Christ. To receive Sit, Walk, Stand as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. President Obama said, "Let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state. ISIL is a terrorist organization, pure and simple." How accurate is this politically correct, warmer and kinder picture of Islam? To help you get a better understanding of the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff has put together an equipping package which includes the book Islam, What You Must Know, a special article on the rise of the American jihadist, and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, go online at equip.org and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recent atheist writers claim to find real physical and psychological harm in Christian teachings and practices. However, careful analysis of this literature reveals numerous flaws, false assumptions, and factual errors. The real question is whether it is the Christian life or the atheist life that best corresponds to reality and provides for genuine human flourishing. Other topics include the seven deadly sins and the path to virtuous character, does the Levitical prohibition of homosexuality still apply today, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. For most Americans, pronouncements from our public officials that Islam is a religion of peace are impossible to reconcile with daily headlines and jarring photos of jihadist atrocities. To help you get a better understanding of the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book Islam, What You Must Know, as well as an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring an article titled, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? And given how critical this topic is, Hank will include a special article on the rise of the American jihadist. The book, magazine issue, and special article are our gift in appreciation for your support today of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Understand authentic Islam. Go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Adrian, listening in El Paso, Texas on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Adrian.
Oh, hi, Hank. Really appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question regarding ISIS's view of Jesus. And the reason I ask that is because I have a nephew who grew up in a Christian home but then went off to college in Florida. But when he came back, he was spouting all kinds of crazy things, thinking that, you know, Louis Farrakhan is the second coming of the Holy Spirit and things. And as we've been dialoguing, we were talking about, I guess, the history of Islam and the history of some of the ideas. And we went all the way back to, you know, the Council of Nicaea, thinking when, you know, Arius was declared a heretic, and all the spiritual offspring of Arius, who still had his disciples out there preaching that Jesus was not the Son of God. So it seemed that, you know, you have the Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, and others who don't honor Christ as God. But then ISIS came out, and you hear all the propaganda with ISIS talking about some, it seems like some hybrid between Islam and Christianity. They talk about an end times and Christ and all that seems to be the center of it, and it seems like a perversion. But I don't know how to counter my nephew, and I was hoping you could help me out with that. And if you don't mind, I'm going to be on the road, so I have to listen to your answer off the air. Thank you, Hank. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. And of course, here's the problem. The problem is you can't stay abreast of all of the perversions. Satan packages and repackages the lie ad nauseum, ad infinitum. A typical Muslim dogmatically denounces the Christian declaration of Christ's unique deity. They call it the unforgivable sin of shirk. And as a result of that, what you have is Muslims who may affirm the sinlessness of Christ, but deny his sacrifice upon the cross, deny the fact that he is uniquely divine, and deny his subsequent resurrection. Now, there are a lot of hybrids of that. You alluded to Louis Farrakhan. Here's a guy who founds the or is the head of the Nation of Islam, founded by Wallace Fard, and he says that the white were grafted into existence 7,000 years ago by a scientist. He praises Hitler as a great man. You look at his view that Christianity is the white man's religion. Jesus Christ is not God. Allah had sex with Mary and produced Jesus Christ, denies the afterlife, and on it goes. So there are many kind of deviations from the truth. So what we have to do is become very familiar with the real. And we have to be able to communicate that, use the deviations as springboards or opportunities for sharing truth. For example, if someone denies the fact that Jesus Christ died upon the cross, well, you have to be able to present the evidence that Jesus did die upon the cross. And that evidence is just incontrovertible. Anyone that's willing to look at it with an open mind recognizes that this is a well-attested fact of history. So those who deny it are simply denying it in face of the facts, which is are facts that are now conceded even by secular historians who are skeptical of the whole biblical message. So the historical Jesus and his death upon the cross is something that can be demonstrated. Moreover, his resurrection is not something that we have to believe through blind faith, but rather we can believe it as a result of faith in evidence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul provides a four-part argument. Christ died for our sins. The fatal suffering of Jesus Christ is not mythology, it's history. The tomb was empty. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. Christ appeared and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And as a result of his appearances, the disciples of Christ were radically transformed. Before, they had been scared and scattered. Afterwards, they were willing to face the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane, the fires of 1,000 deaths, because they knew that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. So again, the issue is not keeping up with all the deviations. It is becoming familiar with truth. We did, however, prepare a resource so that you can understand what Islam believes in all of its various permutations, including the Nation of Islam. It's called Islam, What You Must Know, and it is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. and the Bible. Answer Man broadcast. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Nicholas. He's listening in El Paso, Texas on KELP. Hi, Nicholas.
Hey, Hank. I'm just trying to, I have a big question. It's been bugging me for about a week now. Anytime you go on, I play online games. I also, you know, I'll watch videos on YouTube, look stuff on Facebook, but I notice anytime someone mentions Christ or, you know, God, there's always people who come up and are just really rude in their comments, and they'll argue for days about it. My question is, I don't like leaving someone who says something that rude or anti-God just out there, because I feel like it just leaves this kind of validates by no one answering. How do we as Christians answer stuff like that?
Well, one of the things you do is you get a copy of New Atheism by Graham Veal, a survival guide. I mean, that's one of the reasons we made that resource available. It is to learn to deal with people who are being belligerent. Now what's happening is the new atheists are using dogmatic assertions as opposed to providing defensible arguments, what Granville calls the sneer factor. So we need to know how to deal with that, not in kind, where we become belligerents ourselves, but deal with it in gentleness and respectful manner. Recognize that people are trapped in systems, and oftentimes they don't know about the system that they're trapped in. They don't realize what the logical extension of it is. And so we should take pity on them and be kind and generous in the way that we respond to them.
Right. I do tend to feel that way about them. I kind of want to say something that would be, you know, kind of give them a question to ask as opposed to a sneer. I just wasn't sure how to do that without maybe causing them to, you know, react with, oh my gosh, I'm going to argue to death.
You know, what's interesting is to get them to think, if they will think, about the logical conclusion of what they've given themselves to. So if you're an atheist, if you believe that there's no such thing as God, now you're in the untenable position of having to say that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produces metaphysical realities. Not only that, but if you're an atheist, you are blindly determined by genetics, by brain chemistry, by physical processes, which is to say that you now have no free will whatsoever. The logical consequence of atheism as well is that if it were true, there would be no difference between right and wrong, between good and bad, and you would just be here by dumb luck. Those are the logical consequences of that belief. Now, some people bite the bullet, others don't. They obfuscate. But this is beyond a doubt what atheism portends. And so you want to be able to ask intelligent questions like, do you think you have free will, or is your life just fatalistically determined? And how does nothing produce everything? Do you really think that your life is just a function of dumb luck? These are questions that get people perhaps to think about the consequences of their values and their positions.
Thanks, Hank. I had been looking at the that New Atheist book, so it looks like I'm going to be grabbing that, and I appreciate you taking the time to expound on that.
You're welcome. Appreciate your call. You know, the New Atheists are reduced to such circular arguments because they're selling a feeling, the assurance that unbelief is infinitely superior to theistic superstition. Now, it's one thing to make them think about their own position. It's another thing to point out that theistic superstition is a sneer. It's not reality. If you look at the universe, you know there has to be a universe maker. That's just common sense. if you look at something that's complicated like a watch, or even something uncomplicated like a basketball, you know that there is a creator of both. When you look at a universe with 100 billion galaxies, each with 100 billion stars, this is a minimalist case, by the way. That's stating the minimalist position. You could easily say 170 billion galaxies with billions and billions of stars. But even at a minimalist position or perspective, it is immense and hard to imagine that something with such intricate balance and sophistication is a function of blind chance. You look at a dot of carbon at the end of a sentence made with a pencil. You have 100 billion carbon atoms. And you think about seeing just one of them, you'd have to stretch one of those atoms out to be the size of a football field. Or you think about the fact that now we're finding that everything can be reduced to wavelets of energy, bits of information. So the whole idea of solidity is now called into question. The more you look at the profundity of the universe, the more you are drawn to the one who spoke, and the universe leapt into existence. Well, we're out of time for this week's editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We've mentioned a number of resources. Of course, primary research this month, Watchman Nee, Sit, Walk, Stand, also Islam, What You Must Know, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, all available when you support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Just ask for any one of them when you give a gift this month. And do remember to pray for this ministry as well. We only do what we do because you make it possible.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. As Dr. David Wood notes in his article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? Given an honest reading of the Quran and Hadith, a brutal theocracy is exactly what we would expect. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the mind-shaping outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you three items. The book, Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal, along with a timely article on the rise of the American jihadist, and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the cover article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Some time ago, the Christian Research Institute changed its tagline from Because Truth Matters to Because Life and Truth Matter. Reason being that for Christians, truth and the abundant life are inseparable. It's no small clue that Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. Tragically, in matters of life, Christians often try to walk with Christ in order to one day sit with him. But this is the reversal of the true order. The concise book Sit, Walk, Stand by Watchman Nee explores timeless principles from the book of Ephesians, which demonstrate the truth that we advance in the Christian life only as we learn first to sit down. To receive Sit, Walk, Stand as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. President Obama said, "Let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state. ISIL is a terrorist organization, pure and simple." How accurate is this politically correct, warmer and kinder picture of Islam? To help you get a better understanding of the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff has put together an equipping package which includes the book Islam, What You Must Know, a special article on the rise of the American jihadist, and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, go online at equip.org and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or call 888-7000-CRI.